Lord's house to worship today, and I ask that you greet one another with the peace of Christ. Peace be with you.
Thank you.
Glad to see you. Good morning.
It's a great time to fellowship and visit with people that we don't always get to see. My name is Rhonda Barlow, and I am your liturgist and servant for today. I hope everyone is having a wonderful Sunday morning. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord today. Beautiful weather, as you can tell. Yes, I did get some sun yesterday. We decided to go down and have a day just for Al and I down at Daytona, so it was very nice. Some of the announcements, there are two inserts in your bulletin here, the blue. One is about the Easter lilies, and then the other one here is about the different Lenten Easter events that are happening. You might want to, if you have a calendar like I do on the wall, where I put everything that's going on, you might want to mark your calendar with these events. You don't want to miss them. We are also, too, having our church council meeting tonight. And I believe that is at 6. And Bob, did you have anything to say about that tonight, or? Okay, now you've heard it from the chair person there. You all are invited to come to this meeting. He always allows everyone to try to give their input about different subjects that are happening here at the church. So if you are interested in this, if this affects you in any way, or whether you don't really care about it, but you still want to hear what happens, you need to come. You need to see the happenings of the church. These are the things that are going on behind the scenes, too, things that go on at the church that you may not even be aware about, aware of. And if it were me, because I do go to the meetings, it helps me to understand the workings of the church and what we need to do as our part to help keep this church going. So please, if you're able to come, please come. There are other things going on in the church here, other announcements here in the bulletin. Please take your time to read these things and go over them. I think Larry had something.
Yes, I've got actually have three announcements. One, if you like broccoli and want some, please take. We have plenty that was left over. Number two, in the past couple of years, in a number of years, United Methodists have a night with our area ball team. Now this year, the Jumbo Shrimp. That is coming up. I will get a flyer out on that and get the sign-up sheets if you're interested in going. Thirdly, last year we received a check from the Orange Park Rotary towards our food bank, which was part of the proceeds they get from their annual gourmet night. That is coming up April 25th. I do have tickets. They are $40 a piece. It's all you can eat. Sampling of about 30 different restaurants from the area. Great night, a lot of fun, well worth the effort, and they help support us too. So see me for those.
And it's fresh broccoli.
It's fresh broccoli, yes. It was picked Thursday morning.
And then Barbara? Yes, I wanted to remind everybody that we're moving.
And I feel blessings from that because I have been asked to be the storyteller that day for the children for the Easter story. So I am looking forward to that as well. Are there any other announcements that we have? If not, let us open up our bulletin to the opening words. We are blind to many things.
Lord, cure our blindness.
The light of God shines for us today.
Lord, pour that light on us.
Come, worship God who forgives and heals your blindness.
Open our eyes, O Lord, that we might see opportunities to serve you. Amen.
If you would all please stand and turn in your hymnals to 454. We'll sing, Open My Eyes That I May See.
Spirit, redeemer.
to 887, we will have our affirmation of faith. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword?
No, in all things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Something really special to show you. What do you think? What do you think? Yeah, you like these? You like these? I look kind of weird. Well, why do you think I wear these? Why do you think I wear these? Why?
To block the sun.
To block the sun. These are like my favorite glasses. They block the sun, just like Zachary said. They have little rhinestones on the side here. But best of all, I got them at the Dollar Tree for $1. That's the best thing. And that's all right. And I just don't know how on earth they could give me such a nice pair of glasses for $1. Do you know how? Do you know how? No, that's why they call it the Dollar Tree. That's right. What were you going to say? Oh, I've had these a long time. I've had these a lot. He said they were going to break very easy. How in the world could they give me such a nice pair of glasses, Megan? Everything's a dollar. That's right. But how can they do that? They don't what? They don't wet them? They don't let them? I don't know. I mean, it's a mystery to me. It's a mystery to me. And that's one of the things that we think about when we think about God's love. It's a little bit of a mystery to me. I don't know why God loves us. Do you know why God loves us? Is there a reason for that? We pray? Well, that could be, but not everybody prays. But God loves them even if you don't pray. Why do you think in the world God loves us? We are His children. That's why. Yes, Zachary. Because we help other people. Well, there's people out there that don't help other people, yet God still loves them. God is very special. It's hard to explain. It's not something we can understand. It's like these sunglasses. I don't know why I can get these for a dollar. That's just a miracle to me. And it is such a miracle that God's love includes every single one of us. Every single one of us. And it's very special. And I am so thankful to God and thankful to God for each and every one of you because you are special in God's sight. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your love. We don't know where it comes from, but we know you love us, that we are your children. Help us to lead lives of gratitude and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're welcome. Okay. She wants to pick out her own, doesn't she? Be careful, Ashton. There you go. Watch your step. Got it? Boop. There we go. We continue to serve God and worship this morning through the giving of our gifts, our tithes, and offerings. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. We thank you, O God, that your goodness includes us. We know, precious Lord, that every good and perfect gift comes from you, and we give you the thanks and the praise for all our lives. Help us to lead lives worthy of the calling. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated.
We're going to have our Sailor Marine singing in the choir. They switched haircuts just for the day. So that's what's causing you problems, I'm sure. And wanted to let you know that Ken and Lee Amon aren't leaving yet because they haven't filed the proper paperwork with the choir director. So they may they may be around for a while.
So, of course, we want to pray for Jabari as he gets ready after a week to report to duty. And so we're praying for him this morning. Add him to our prayer list. And we want to pray for Connie Lori, who is having hip problems and other problems. She goes to the early service. I don't know how many of you know Connie, but she needs our prayers as well. Richard Harris is at home, Margie Harris's husband, after knee replacement surgery, and that's kind of a rough road to recovery for him. So we want to remember Richard today. And we have Rosemary Gogler in the church, and we're so glad that she's worshiping with us today. She's getting her life back on track after having the devastating tornado destroy her house, and is little by little getting back together again, and so she's with us. And her sister Mert is still in the hospital but making improvements every day, and we are so grateful for that. And then we have, of course, Don Giles and his friend Leanne Christensen, who were in a motorcycle accident. If you have not heard yet already, it was on Friday night, and I went to see them on Saturday, and they're both at Orange Park Hospital. They will heal, they will recover, but it's not going to be a easy or quick road. It'll be a slow, difficult recovery. Don broke shoulder, collarbone, ribs, and Leanne has a dislocated wrist and broken ribs. And so we want to keep them in our prayers as well. That's Don Giles and Leanne Christensen. They're both at Orange Park Hospital. Let's go to God in prayer by silently bowing our heads, closing our eyes, and lifting up our hearts to hear God speaking to us. And in the silence, if you feel called to do so, you may share the name of someone, a place in the world, or a situation in life that needs God's healing touch today. Hear our prayers, precious Lord, for those whom we love, those whom we don't know, and those who are only known to you. We come to you in prayer to give our hearts today, to thank you and praise you for our lives, for this special, special gift of being your children and of the gift of your Son who came into the world to save us. We thank you, dear God, for this congregation and for its leaders, and pray your blessing to, and have mercy upon us as your children, that we minister in this community, that we are sent into the world so that they too may know and call upon your name. All of this we ask in the name of your Son, who taught us to pray together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
If you would please stand and look to the screen behind me, we will sing verses 1, 3, and 5 of Since Jesus Came Into My Heart.
The scriptures today are out of John 9, the Pew Bible. It's on page 120. After long, he saw a man blind from birth. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors, those who had seen him before as a beggar, began to ask, is this the man who used to sit and beg? Some were saying, it is he. Others were saying, no, but it is someone like him. He kept saying, I am the man. But they kept asking him, then how were your eyes opened? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. Then I went and washed and received my sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened. He said, he is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him, saying, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us? And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him. Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him to this world for judgment. We see, and those who do see may be Pharisees near him. Surely we are not blind, are we? Then if you were blind, but now that you say we see, your sin remains. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
For reading that, that was a long. I'm going to tell you, thank you. Often, so. Circumstance. A young woman talked to her past sin of pride. Every Sunday, I come to look around. I am the smartest, the best woman in the church, thinking it, but I can't. Am I horribly sinful? The pastor looked at her, no, dear, not sinful, just horribly mistaken. I don't know anybody like that. In today's gospel lesson, the disciples come to Jesus to talk, not about their own sins, but the sins of others, wondering whose sin caused this man to be born blind. And Jesus tells the disciples they are horribly mistaken. But we all understand the question because we've had questions like it before. For example, a Sunday school teacher calls her pastor with what she calls as a preacher question. She says, "Pastor, what do I tell Bill Smith's grandson after he died? He was 61 and he died this week, and they want to know why God killed their grandpa. What do I tell them?" she says. Did God kill their grandpa? Or a young man tells his father that God is punishing him for going off his Lenten fast. He had given up fast food for Lent, but on the way to a game, he went by Burger King, and then after he ate the food, he got food poisoning. So did God punish him for going off his Lenten fast by giving him food poisoning? That's a good question. And in the wake of earthquakes and tornadoes, tsunamis, and other disasters, there's always a preacher or two who decide they have to figure out what sins the people committed that caused God to punish them. Is this the way God acts? To all of this, Jesus says, "You are horribly mistaken." The most important theme of Lent is turning to and fro with God. Let me tell you what I mean. Turning from fear to faith, from sin to grace, from the world to God, and from darkness to the light. And focusing on the sinfulness or saintliness of others distracts us from paying attention to our own relationship with God, our own turning to and fro, our own Lenten discipline, our own relationship with God. Because, my friends, if you look hard enough, you will surely find sin in your neighbor. You won't have far to look. The Pharisee leaders in this story that we hear are so wrapped up in their own capacity to see truth that they couldn't spot the truth even when it hit them in the face. They were so wrapped up in their own holiness that they couldn't even see God. People who are certain of their own insights are like that. They're actually blind. They can't see the forest for the trees. Jesus tells this great parable about this. I know you've heard this one. Two men went up to the temple to pray, and one thought he was holy, that he could see God clearly, and the other knew he was a sinner and therefore blind. And when they prayed, the one who thought he was holy said, "I thank you, God, that I go to the synagogue every week and sacrifice myself to do what is right, and I always pay my tithes, and thank goodness I'm not like that sinner over there." The other man, the one who knew he was a sinner, was so ashamed he did not even lift his eyes and his face from the ground. And he said over and over, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And then Jesus asked, "Who do you suppose went home from the temple right with God?" It was none other than the repentant sinner. And what it was that put him right with God was the fact that he was really looking for God instead of looking at himself and thinking about how holy and important he was, or looking for sin in the people around him. Our Lenten discipline calls us to spend time examining our own lives and repenting of our own sins. It does not call us to point out the speck in our brother or sister's eye. Rather, it calls us to look at the log in our own. It calls us to admit our own blindness. Now, a newspaper in the last century, at the beginning of the 20th century, a newspaper invited famous writers to answer this question: what's wrong with the world? And they got all sorts of answers. They got the devil, the communists, the fascists, the white people, the black people, Jews, the Germans, the Muslims, the Americans. It was women, it was men. It was the older generation, and it was young people today. Those were all the answers they got, except for one. The writer, G.K. Chesterton, wrote, "Dear sirs, what is wrong with the world? I am. Sincerely, G.K. Chesterton." We all sometimes need this reminder, because all of us are sometimes horribly mistaken about the sins of others and the sins of ourselves. We have a tendency to believe our sins are easily forgiven, but those of others, well, not so much. We appear to believe that if it were only our sins that mattered, then Jesus would not have had to die on the cross. He was just a good stern talking to, and that would have been that. It was the sins of others, we say, that caused Jesus to die. But we are horribly mistaken. But there is good news. I always bring you good news at the end of bad news. Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. The good news is that God knows who we are. God knows what we have done, and God loves us anyway. And there's no mistaking that, my friends. Amen and amen.
If you would please stand and look to the screen behind me. We'll sing "Jesus, Lover of My Soul." One, two, four. Jesus, Lover of My Soul.
Difficulties. if you all looked out to see why we weren't singing, it was because we didn't have the right song up there. We had the wrong song up there. Anyway, Jesus, lover of my soul, some of us know that and how beautiful that is. Jesus does love us. And thank goodness for that. And Jesus calls each one of us beloved children of God. And we worship that loving God and are called to do the same, to share that love, God's love, with the world that is so broken and needs to hear it. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you, now and always. Go in His peace. Amen.